what I'm doing. Someone told me after college you ran off to Vegas. You married a rodeo cowboy. Wow, that ain't the girl I knew. Me, I've been a few places, mostly here and there once or twice. Still sorting out life, but I'm doing all right. Yeah, it's good to see you too. Well, hey girl, you're late, and those planes, they don't wait. But if you ever come back around this sleepy old town, promise me you'll stop in to see an old friend. And until then, I wake up and teardrops that fall down like rain. I put on that old song we danced to, and then I head off to my job. Guess not much has changed. Punch the clock, hit the horn, check the phone, just in case.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Days after Israeli airstrikes killed seven humanitarian aid workers, Israeli war cabinet member Benny Gantz, an opposition rival to Israel's prime minister, now calling for new elections in September. Gantz says the priority for Israel is freeing Hamas-held hostages and says the strategic relations with the U.S. must not be harmed. Special counsel Jack Smith in court filings in the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case is objecting to Judge Eileen Cannon's interpretation of the Presidential Records Act, which seems to open the door to Donald Trump's argument he had ownership over the documents. ABC's Aaron Kutursky has more.
Jack Smith said not only is this pure fiction from former President Trump, but accepting that premise that the former president can somehow make national security records his personal documents, he says will distort the trial.
Volatile storms sweeping across the nation's midsection and parts of the South, with at least 20 tornadoes reported across nine states. This is ABC News. Congresswoman Loan Boebert is recovering from Tuesday's surgery for a blood clot in her leg. A New York bridge operator wants New York City marathon runners to pay a toll.
It's one of the most iconic images of the New York City Marathon. Tens of thousands of runners crossing the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, spanning from Staten Island to Brooklyn. The bridge is closed to cars for the event, and the New York Times is reporting that the authority which operates the bridge is now asking to be compensated for the $750,000 a year in toll revenue it loses. One possible compromise could see the runners on one level of the bridge with cars on the other. Dave Packer, ABC News, New York.
Lovers of British royalty can tour Balmoral Castle in Scotland this summer. Guides will escort small groups around several rooms, including the salon where the ailing Queen Elizabeth met then Prime Minister Liz Truss in 2022. The 40 tickets a day will go for about $126. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Hewitt, yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Tuesday was Election Day in Wisconsin. Several mayoral races were decided around the state. Voters in Wausau chose Alderman Doug Denny as the city's new mayor, defeating incumbent Katie Rosenberg by a 52% to 48% margin. In Kenosha, Alderman David Bogdala will replace the outgoing John Antaramian as mayor. He defeated Lydia Spotswood. In Wisconsin Rapids, Matt Zacher will succeed Shane Blazer as mayor, while 26-year-old Austin Hammond will become Menasha's next mayor. He defeated Rebecca Nichols. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson easily won another term, as did Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. two other key votes in Milwaukee from Tuesday's elections.
A massive $552 million school spending referendum in Milwaukee has been approved by a narrow margin, 51-49%. The district is facing a $20 million deficit and said if the spending measure didn't pass, there would be more cuts to schools. Milwaukee City Attorney Tierman Spencer has lost to former Democratic State Representative Evan Goyke. Goyke dropped out of the assembly to run against Spencer, who faced criticism after his deputy was caught doing work for his personal firm on city time. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Statewide, voters approved a pair of amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution in Tuesday's vote. The two change how local clerks can accept outside support during elections. They ban local clerks from taking private funding to support election efforts, and they prevent anyone from third parties from assisting in the voting process. The Republican-authored measures were a response to complaints by former President Donald Trump over the handling of the 2020 presidential election. Democrats say those measures didn't need to be amendments, but rather could have gone through the normal lawmaking process. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Snow continues to fly. It may mix with a little rain this afternoon as high temperatures climb above freezing, nearing 40 degrees. However, winds stay strong, gusting up to 40 miles per hour, which will be blowing and drifting around snow. And flurries continue to fly tonight. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 39.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And from the scoop, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Here we are. It is the 3rd of April, and we are looking at 35 degrees.
Okay.
It's damp out there. There's some moisture that's flying around. I don't think we're getting any snow right now at the moment. No, it doesn't look like it. Still could happen yet today. But, dude, we have got 30-mile-an-hour winds with gusts to 50, 55 miles an hour. It is a gnarly day out there, no question about it. What you got?
My computer just says cold weather, where it usually says the temperature.
Yeah.
I think last I saw it was 42 degrees. The sun's trying to come out down here. I think we're on the southern edge of something here, I think.
Yeah, no, dude, there's not a lot of effort by the sun here. Not right now, anyway.
He's not even trying.
No. But where we are at, where the bunker is at, we are right on the western edge of this rotating low, a stationary low, that looks to be creating some problems for Chicago area right now.
All right.
And we've also got storms moving up into New England and in the southeast as well. So we've been dealing with it for 3 days now. And it's going to continue to be an issue for us. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. One of my favorite days, we get to have a conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University. We'll talk about what's going on with the Ag Economy Barometer. And then how about that for the Farmer Forum? We've got Ben Renchi and Glenn Newcomer on the show here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's a beaut. She's a beaut.
Let's get to it.
Well, I'm going to start with the National Weather Service weather. Heavy rain and severe thunderstorms will impact portions of the East Coast today. All hazards are possible, it says, with damaging winds and hail being the main threats. Heavy wet snow will persist across Wisconsin and upper Michigan into Thursday. Snow will move into northern New York and New England late Wednesday through Thursday. Moderate impacts to travel and power outages are expected. All hazards are possible. Chip, let's be sky aware in these areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And think about where you know, some of the major airline hubs are. There's going to be some disruptions to flights and so on.
Well, the Key Bridge disaster in the port of Baltimore was not the first to hit agriculture and other industries, and may not be the last unless protective measures are taken, says one farm senator. 19 major bridge disasters have taken place since 1960. Baltimore, just the latest. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says, given the hit to agriculture, more bridges need protection. He had this to say.
Protections around the structures that hold the bridges up. I think some of the bridges already have those protections, but not every bridge has a protection, and that's what needs to be looked at.
Chip, just a couple of factoids here. Roughly, total U.S. ag exports by quantity out of the port, 0.4% by value, or 0.3% of total U.S. ag exports. We've talked about this. This is not a huge ag exporting location. However, you know, infrastructure and whatnot.
Oh, it matters. And there are some there are some industries that are going to experience some supply chain interruptions because of this. So, but what Senator Grassley is talking about is riprap. Let's get some riprap and artificial reefs around those bridge supports. Yeah, it's bottom line.
Well, Chip, the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer shows an improved outlook for U.S. farmers during March. The index rose a slight increase over February. The index of current conditions fell. Index of future expectations climbed compared to February. We'll get more from Dr. Jim Mintert on this in just a moment. Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller confirmed that the Calmain Foods, Inc. poultry facility in Farwell, Texas, has received official notification of a positive test for HPAI. Calmain will be required to depopulate, Chip, 1.6 million laying hens and 337,000 pullets at their facility. This, as Mexico's agriculture ministry said, it is taking preventative measures to increase surveillance and reinforce inspections of U.S. livestock imports after highly pathogenic avian influenza was found in dairy cattle. Mm-hmm. Bond traders priced in less monetary policy easing by the Federal Reserve this year, briefly setting the odds of a first cut in June at below 50% after a gauge of U.S. manufacturing activity showed expansion for the first time since 2022. In other news, EPA issued a notice detailing the final conditions for dicamba product usage after revoking the registration. The agency defined existing stocks as products registered before February 6, 2024, and laid out timelines for the end of sale and distribution ranging from May 13 to the end of June, depending on the state. Final use dates vary from June 12 to July 30 across different states. Best to check with your FSA office, I guess, Chip, maybe on the dicamba stuff.
No, I think I would talk with your retailers.
Ooh, all right. All right.
I think that's probably who you're going to have to go to on that, I believe.
That's a good thought. And finally, the strongest earthquake in 25 years hit Taiwan overnight. Around 26 buildings have collapsed, according to Reuters. More than 50 people sustaining injuries. U.S. Geological Survey put it at a 7.4 on the Richter scale.
Dude, when I heard the worst earthquake in 25 years, I was thinking, any loss of life is tragic. I get it.
Sure.
But I thought the numbers would be in the hundreds, if not thousands.
Yeah, I kind of did too.
So to hear 50 people sustained injuries, that's encouraging. Thank you, Davis.
You bet.
All right, let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. How you doing, Margie?
Hey, Chip, doing well this morning. Trying not to blow away myself.
I hear ya. So the technology trends in ag retail. What is most engaging for the guys now?
Yeah, so we've been talking about this idea of smart farming, and that really is about the technology, the software and the hardware. Whether you're a farmer or an ag retailer, opportunity to highlight technology trends, kind of impact everyone going forward. So especially for ag retailers to consider about not only these, but how them. So then first one would be selective spraying, green on green spraying solutions. They are picking up a lot really be season. The second one is going to be data analytics. analytics. So using the data to inform decisions, really taking the analytics that you are pulling from these data pools you have, either as an individual farmer or as an ag retailer, and how they inform your business decisions. The third is more connectivity. I think we all can agree that we are more connected in our lives every day. And whether that be via wireless data transfer or other applications, I see huge implications going forward. Prescription inputs, streamlined ways to do business, gene-edited crops, and sensors out in the field. Wrap that list up.
Perfect, Margie. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. We've got Jim Minter next.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everyone.
Funding was eliminated. It could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generation. Investment.
David Newman with the networks to put more U.S. pork on tables around the world. David, how have pork checkoff dollars business in foreign markets?
With help from the U.S. Meat Export Federation and matching funds from the USDA, the checkoff's working to drive the demand with international customers. The big win in 2023 was in Mexico, which are both pork. Those activations have resulted in the pork sales going into foreign markets.
What's next is you're trying to reach new customers for U.S. pork.
Continuing to offer up the fresh, high-quality U.S. pork around the world.
Thanks again, David, for talking with us today about how the Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for U.S. pork. You can find more information at porkcheckoff.org/radio.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo Herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Get more with Stein. When it comes to soybean breeding, more generations equals additional yield. 2.2% more yield per generation. By introducing more new genetics faster than any other seed company, Stein delivers on the Stein Has Yield promise. For elite genetics paired with simple, flexible, and effective weed control, plant Stein Enlist E3 soybeans. Stein Has Yield. Yield plus advantage. Learn more at steinseed.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. It is time for our monthly conversation with Dr. Jim Minter, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. He's also an ag econ professor there at the University of Purdue. And I don't know if there's any truth to this, Jim, but did I read somewhere that you are in the running for the number one Boilermaker heading into Saturday's Final Four?
Well, I don't know if there's any truth to that either, so we'll find out, I guess. I think Zach Eadie's the number one Boilermaker.
There you go. There you go. Exciting time, isn't it?
It is exciting and long awaited. I remember, I guess I'm old enough that I remember the last time Purdue was in the Final Four, so it's great to see him back in it again this year.
There you go. There you go. That's awesome. Congratulations on that. I hope that there are other land-grant universities that are soon to make their first appearance in quite some time in the Final Four. I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it at
probably
that.
One that's located at Ames, Iowa. Is that
Ames, Iowa, that, you know, if you're looking for someplace on the map, we can go straight to Ames, Iowa.
but Iowa can be pretty happy about Caitlin Clark's performance last night.
Holy smokes. It's incredible.
That was fun to watch. Fun to watch.
It certainly is. It certainly is. There's no question. Okay. The Ag Economy Barometer that you do there at the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag, working with the CME group, and it showed a bit of improvement. Just give us the basics.
So it was up a little bit this month. The index was 114. That was 3 points higher than last month, and you know, in the ballpark of last year, I think it was 3 points lower than a year ago. The interesting thing from my perspective, Chip, was the fact that all of the increase was attributable to people becoming more optimistic about the future. The Future Expectation Index was up 5 points compared to last month, and that was 7. It really had to outweigh, since it appeared that the change in interest rate outlook did impact their viewpoints.
Okay. What a D, Jim, that they feel like their current situation has bottomed out, at least for now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think the other way to express that, Chip, would be to say that they view the downturn that we've seen in commodity prices recently maybe as a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
At least from a cost price squeeze. I mean, I think what people are telling us is that they think the margin squeeze that we're experiencing right now with high break evens and weakening commodity prices is a little bit of a temporary phenomena. And you could rectify that to some extent with stronger commodity prices. You could also rectify it with weaker input prices. And people continue to tell us that they're very concerned about high input cost.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's go back to those interest rates, because there is some supporting evidence in the questions in the survey. Just 1/5 of respondents list higher interest rates as a top concern going forward, correct?
True, but that's been fairly consistent over time. And if you look at it, the shift there has been a question going back to the input cost. Mm-hmm. The shift has been and more people in livestock prices now than they were this time last year. And then the interest rate concern a year ago was a little higher than it is now, 25%. Last month it was 20%. Still concerned about interest rates, and they haven't backed off. So the question is, are we going to see some declines going forward? And we did ask a question about that this month explicitly. We asked, what do you expect the U.S. prime interest rate to be 1 year from now? And the shift is quite remarkable. A year ago, or actually last summer, 30% of the folks thought that we would see an interest rate increase of 1%, and another 30% thought it'd be 1% to 2% higher. So 60% of the people in the survey thought rates were going up. This month, only 32% of the people in the survey think rates are going up. So I think that shift actually kind of spells it out a little bit. Fewer people think rates are going up, and more people think rates are going down than what we saw earlier. And I think that shows up in the farmland expectations.
Okay.
I think it shows up in the Farm Capital Investment Index as well.
Okay. All right. Well, the Farm Capital Investment Index is where I was going next with this. It Tell us about the changes there. I mean, it's not like everybody is thinking that now's a great time to invest.
No, and truthfully, in our index, they never do. Right. We're trying to do some follow-up questions. We, you know, we pretty consistently get anywhere from 2/3 to 3/4 of the people in the survey who say it's not a great time to invest. And I think part of that's because they're thinking about the prices of new farm equipment and whether or not their operation is large enough to actually support that. But we're trying to ferret that out with respect to some newer questions going forward. Okay. But this month, that Farm Capital Investment Index did rise 7 points. That leaves it up this time last year. I think it's 1 point lower. It's quite a bit. It's 3 years. Really had its... It's peak. So people are less optimistic than that time frame, but certainly more optimistic than they were a month earlier. Short-term... Farmland index actually higher than this time last year. And when you look at farm income forecast, for example, for 2024, you think, why is that short-term farmland index going up with what the capital markets, a capital farmland, but an impact on the investment picture for things like farm machinery.
Right. Okay. One of the comments that you put in the summary, when asked why they expect farmland values to increase, more producers this month pointed to inflation expectations as a supporting factor.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, and I don't have a good explanation for why they're saying that. I mean, yeah. I think that would suggest they were thinking about higher inflation, which would be the counterpoint to lower interest rates. So
right.
That one's a little hard to ferret out. I think, you know, the big thing, people continue to point to non-farm investors, which is interesting to me, given that the relatively high percentage of farmland purchases are made by other farmers. But people continue to point to that as a supporting factor. That's been true as long as we've been asking the question. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out going forward.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the add-on questions here, because I think it's fascinating talking about the investment in the green economy out there with carbon capture and solar panels. What did you learn?
So the first question was, have you engaged in discussions? You or one of your landlords engaged in a discussion with a solar energy company or with a company about carbon capture, utilization, and storage? Solar energy, 12% said they'd had a conversation in the last 6 months, which was kind of interesting. That's fairly consistent with what we've been picking up in prior surveys. We've been around 8 to 10%, so 12% is maybe a small bump up. The carbon capture, we've asked this now a couple of times, and we've been surprised at how many people tell us they've been talking to somebody about carbon capture. 18% said that they'd had at least a conversation. That was, you know, and thinking about the farmland that we were just talking about, Chip, we're starting to wonder if the green energy, the solar energy, and the carbon capture is starting to maybe filter back into an impact on farmland prices. We're actually going to ask some questions about that this coming month. But
okay,
the rates.
When
are
you
high.
Look at some of the leasing rates out there, Jim, it would make people more optimistic.
Yeah, the rates are high. I mean, we asked the follow up question. Again, we focused on the last 6 months because we thought we were getting some older responses with respect to lease rates. And so this month, it's just saying, you know, what kind of a lease rate were you offered for a solar energy project in the last 6 months? 54% of the people said that if they were offered a rate of above $1,000 an acre, and 27% of the people in the survey who had had a conversation said that they were offered over $1,250 per acre on a long-term basis. So those rates have clearly drifted up. We've been asking questions about rates for the last 3 years. Those rates have clearly drifted up over that time frame.
Yep. No doubt. Continue to look into what's going on with the Ag Economy Barometer. Jim's also got some interesting perspective surrounding this fall's elections in there. Jim, great stuff. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks for the opportunity. Look forward to visit with you next month.
All right. Jim Minter, Purdue University. We got the Farmer Forum next.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beige.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. Up Brian Wanekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, May and June both down 5, May at 1564, June 1633, July down 8 at 1708, August down 4 at 1785. Meanwhile, the volatility continues in the cattle markets. Live cattle now are moving mostly mixed, while feeder cattle still moving mostly lower. This is all a lot to do with the situation with the highly pathogenic avian influenza that's been detected in dairy cattle in multiple states across the country. And that is the speculators really making plays on this. And there has also been some short covering in some of these big dips in especially the live cattle market. April live cattle now up 15 cents to 181.92. April feeder cattle down $1.47 to 242.02. Hog markets moving mostly higher. Traders expecting a potential for increasing consumer demand due to the situation with the cattle markets. April lean hogs up $1.35 down to 87.90. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher after starting the day mostly lower due to really some benign weather and no fresh bullish news. Have a lot of short covering now happening in the markets. There's also been some support from some of the outside markets, specifically crude oil moving higher. New crop corn up 3 to 471. New crop beans up 11 and a quarter to 1188 and a quarter. May wheat up 11 and a quarter.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday, which means it's time for the Farmer Forum. Let's get him in here. Ben Renchi, Eastern Iowa. How you doing, Ben?
Well, I want to say better than expected. It remembered how to rain in Northeast Iowa.
Awesome. Awesome. That's quite an assessment to get things started here.
Well, there's a little inside joke in history there, Chip. I will use worse than expected as much as I use better than expected today. So.
Okay, good, good. Got to keep that balance, no question, no question. Glenn Newcomer over in Ohio. Glenn, welcome to the Farmer Forum, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, it's good to visit with you again, Chip. It's been a little while, but I guess in Ohio, we've been more than blessed with enough rain through the past. And over the last couple of days, I think we've had a little over 3 inches of rain. So planting is definitely delayed for a couple of weeks in this part of the world.
How much have you had, Glenn?
No, I'm serious. We've had over 3 inches of rain here just in the last 2 days. And so Wow. It's been the Ohio Valley. It was we've been really hit hard with a lot of unique storms during the month of March and here now into April. So, there's no field work going on over this way. We're totally saturated, and it's going to be a delayed planting start for us.
I'll be darned. Okay. So do you have water standing in fields over there and stuff like that?
Yes, I have lakefront property in my area right now. There's standing water in most fields, which we haven't seen that for quite some time.
Right, right. Ben, there's no standing water in eastern Iowa, is there?
No, in weather as in life, if you'd take me and Glenn and put us together, you'd have two average men and we'd have average weather. So I am the red splotch on the map. If you look at any drought index, northeast Iowa has just been, you know, the Sahara of the Corn Belt. And, our state climatologist said that we were 50 inches of rain short for the past three growing seasons. So that if you'd take the northeast third of Iowa, it's been, we have not received life-saving rains in recent days, but what's impressive is it remembered how to rain in snow.
Yes.
So over Easter weekend up till today, we haven't had a total inch of moisture, but gosh, a sight of some snow in January and maybe a little during harvest, we just haven't had anything. So we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I do want to take something from the conversation that we just had with Jim Mintert from Purdue University and expand on it just a little bit with you guys. And it's about making investments in the operation. He mentioned that the Farm Capital Investment Index, it was up 7 points on a percentage basis. That's pretty impressive because it's just at 41 on the index. But when you dig a little deeper into it, the producers that said now is a good time to make a large investment, it only stands at 15%. Ben, it doesn't sound to me like there's a lot of money being spent in agriculture.
Well, I was listening to Jim, and some of the things he brought up, interest rates, being higher and a cost price squeeze and what's a temporary phenomenon and who's concerned about their budget. I'd say, who's concerned about my budget right now is my banker. This year's budget is just wrangling, squeezing, drying out liquidity from my budget. I mean, it's another year growing $4 corn. It costs $5 to grow, just like 2014 through 2019. There is no room in the budget to buy new equipment. Farmers, I will die on this mountain that farmland prices are always a reflection of how much liquidity farmers have rather than the budget in any one given year. And Right. We've had 2 years of great grain prices, but who's driving up land prices? Well, I listened to Jim talk about, farmers cite investors. Well, what happens is the investor is always the bridesmaid, and you're not going to let that generational opportunity next to you go by. So the farmer ends up paying, an arm and a leg for a farm. So equipment spending is all but shut off for me this year. The only way I'm going to buy the farm next door is if I sell something that's less strategic to me and move the capital over. My banker doesn't want to hear any noise about capital spending this year. I had to raise my right hand and swear on a stack of Bibles I wouldn't capex on him. So,
Did he believe you?
Jim's
even
view
after
is
all
correct
of that?
From, what do you want me to say? He's probably listening. So, I think I'm not tonight, Chip. I have a headache. You know, okay. It's just not going to happen here.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Glenn, you've got some unique insight into what's going on in the equipment market out there. Yeah, fill us in on that.
Yeah. I've had the opportunity to serve on a board of directors for an equipment company here in Ohio. We're in the tri-state area. And, you know, we how the farm economy goes is pretty indicative of farmer investment in farm equipment. You know, if they're profitable, they're looking for something to depreciate. They want to reduce or minimize their taxes. And so you can pretty much track the strength of the economy. And the last 2 years have been just off the charts when it comes to farm profits, at least in the grain production area. And we're seeing some, not pullback so much, but I guess reservations. I think right now farmers are reluctant to buy that new piece of equipment, and they're hesitant because they first off, they want to make sure they get a crop planted. We're in the part of the world that, like in 19, we just didn't get crops planted, right. And that's still very vivid, very, very much in their memory. So guys are pulling back. We have equipment on order. The equipment is coming in, but we went through a period of time when, you know, we just didn't have any equipment on the lots because the farmer interest was off the charts. Well, now we're actually starting to build equipment values up and everything, and you're starting to look at the equipment values of trade-in pieces and stuff, and there's still good, strong value for strong or good quality used farm equipment. But yeah. When you look at the price increase on new pieces of equipment, of combines and tractors, those high-dollar items, that's a commitment. And I think a lot of farmers today are maybe in denial of the amount of the variable costs of production are going down this year. We've talked about that. And the impact, because of working capital, that's going to change. And when you make a commitment on these high-dollar pieces of equipment, that's a commitment. That's like getting married. I mean, you're in it for the game, and so it's an obligation that with decreasing working capital and inventory values, I just wonder how they're going to justify and pay for it with the increases that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Right. Right. And Ben, what I'm hearing from you is that it's really difficult to justify that.
Well, Glenn brings up a great point that, you know, we've had 100% inflation in farm equipment in 5 years. So can I put together a economically sustainable model buying a $750,000 base combine by the time I get a class 9 combine, 2 heads, it's going to cost me $1 million? I don't know. You know, and then I listened, you had Machine Repeat on Monday, and, you know, always, always a lot of great insight. But, you know, Machine Repeat was talking about selling a bunch of classic round cab John Deere's and, you know, that kind of era. You know, that's more like talking about the Barrett Jackson auction for cars, you know, and what F-150 going to cost. You know, it's just two different markets. That's kind of the collector thing. What I'm seeing is on the dealer lot, they've switched a lot of dealer or customers to new equipment over the past few years. The dealers are getting used to having a few customers that have a big, buy a whole fleet of equipment. And this one-year-old stuff is hitting back, coming back at high, high values. And they have real interest rates to keep that in their inventory. And I think that you're watching the online platforms move a lot of this because they simply have to turn it into cash. Yeah. And, the auction values are a whole lot different than the listed, you know, the what we call dealer protected margin value.
Right. So, right. Yeah. Inventory management, you know, for the dealers has become issue number one. There's no question. No question out there. So.
But I'm in the area of the world. I mean, you know, sorry about the backyarditis in advance. We only had 5/8 of a crop. And so there's just no money in the budget to any purchasing right now.
Right, right. Okay, I'm going to switch gears before we get to the break. Not a lot of time, but we need to do it. Ben, stay with you. What did you see in the prospective planning, the planning intentions report that caught your attention?
6 million less acres. And? Okay, everybody's saying, where did it go? And I'm saying, why is this report inaccurate? And the last one was. Maybe the situation is we overstated last year. Chip, I don't know if you have any experience with running a crop tour and going out and actually counting ears and kernels and fields and acres. And then the government just prints a number that becomes the magical right answer. I mean, maybe this year's plantings are correct and last year was kind of overstated.
Yeah. Yep. You know, you've got to make those comparisons year to year. No question about it. And then you go back to 2022, which had its own unique set of circumstances, and it was down around 310 million planted versus the expected 313.5, and a year ago at 319.6. So it's all unique. We're going to continue the conversation on this week's Farmer Forum. Glenn from Ohio, Ben from Iowa here on AgriTalk.
Sherry, what have you done to your hair?
What do you mean? Does it not look good?
It doesn't look good. It looks freaking amazing. I can't believe how thick and healthy it looks. Oh, I must know your secret.
No secret. It's hair volume from New Nordic.
Hair volume, huh? Well, it certainly lives up to its name. Your hair has never looked so thick. It is gorgeous.
I was so tired of having thin and brittle hair. Ugh, and the shedding. So I figured I'd give hair volume a try. Needless to say, I'm thrilled with the results. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to pick up some hair volume right now. My reunion's next month and I want my hair to look as good as yours.
Hair volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Purchase at newnordicusa.com or your local Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS. Available as a tablet or delicious gummy. Help your hair look full, voluminous, and beautiful again at newnordicusa.com, Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid. Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Taxes and fees apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
You spend your whole life on the soil, so it's like it's a part of you. We're doing conservation programs with the USDA. We've been doing no-till, nutrient management, and we do cover crops on the no-till stuff. These practices are really paying off. Our sugar beets have gone from 18 ton to we're pushing 35 to 40 ton now. When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. You're squawking over $20 billion. It's investment into the future for everybody.
John Burke is the owner of Burke Family Farms, Bay City, Michigan. John, tell me about how you use USDA conservation programs at your farm.
Well, over the years, we've been in numerous different programs, from the Conservation Security Program to the EQIP programs. We even had some local watershed programs. You know, we started reducing our tillage 30 years ago. So, you know, it was kind of an expensive process back then. So it was really nice to have some funding there from the USDA to kind of help cover some of them costs.
Absolutely. So staying consistent in the conservation effort is important in your practice, right?
Right. To stay in it consistently, it gets very expensive. So, you know, a lot of farmers will jump in and out of these programs because, you know, they get funding for a year or two, then the funding disappears. So they really don't see a big benefit in a couple of years of cover cropping. You know, it takes 4, 5, 6 years sometimes before you see a huge benefit.
What is the status of that funding that's available through the IRA and other conservation programs? Is that funding in danger now?
From what I understand, yes, it is. If you worry about climate change, this is how we protect the climate, is by sequestering that carbon. We can do that very easily with no-till and cover crops. And if we stay in business, we can protect the climate. We can provide food at a cheaper price. Because if the farmers are not here in the U.S., what's our alternatives for food? You have to go across the pond somewhere and buy it.
Right. Food security is national security. That is John Burke, Burke Family Farms in Bay City, Michigan.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Are you ready to maximize your yields? Use Germinator Steel Closing Wheels. Germinator Steel Closing Wheels provide a 13-bushel advantage per acre in no-till and a 7-bushel advantage per acre in conventional as compared to standard rubber wheels.
Caution! Please confirm that you have additional space in your bin before adopting Germinator Closing Wheel Systems.
Call 712-520-6051 or visit farmshopmfg.com to place your order today.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of the Farmer Forum with Ben Renchi from Iowa, Glenn Newcomer from Ohio. Glenn, anything in the planting intentions that you want to put in the spotlight? It looked like the Eastern Belt seems to be favoring beans over corn compared to a year ago. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that's basically because the previous year before that in our area or in our part of the world, the corn acres really didn't get planted. And so there was an expansion last year of corn acres, and to get rotations back on track, I think some guys are pulling back a little bit on corn. I see it in our area happening. There's definitely going to be more acres of soybeans. So when you look at the report that was out, it really didn't surprise me that much. I actually thought the corn acres would be a little bit higher, but I'm one of those skeptics that I honestly, just like Ben said a little bit earlier, I concur with his observation. What is that number? Is it maybe? I just think so. I'm very skeptical that USDA, when you're taking a survey, I mean, farmers realize when they're answering a survey, they don't want to put in a high number. So
yeah.
To me, that number is a low number. I think that number is going to grow over time. And if we have favorable weather, farmers like to plant corn, and that corn's going to get planted. That's my opinion. So I think that corn number is the lowest it's going to be.
Okay. Well, Ben, the bean number might be the lowest it's going to be. The combined total on it is like 176.5. Both could go up.
Possibly, yeah. When I looked over the numbers, it looked like a lot of the reduction in corn acres came outside of the core corn production area.
Yep.
That the Midwest crop tour covers, you know. And so, you know, low prices beget low plantings. That's
yep.
where we saw the cuts. In my area, you know, back to backyarditis, we've had once or twice in a lifetime chance to be in the fields in March. There's already a lot of ammonia on that. Those acres are not going to shift. We've had a lot of extra time for tillage last fall and again already this year.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know how many more corn acres you could get in my area,
yep.
you know, who knows? It could rain till the 1st of June, and then we put in our first seed, and you'd see, you know, bean acres maximized. So
that's right. That's right. All right, Ben, what else is on your mind? What's got you thinking? What's got the gears turning?
Well, inflation, Chip. I mean, it's just everything. And once again, Jim, in your prior segment, you know, talked about, you know, all the pressures and the view from 10,000 foot up. But it's just strangling. We shopped property casualty and entitled vehicle insurance not too long ago. We were facing $100,000 a year increase for our farm. And so we had to make some changes to avert that. We've changed some of our coverages. Our labor situation remains tight. I mean, demographics, boomers. Actually, where I live in a populated enough area that boomers getting squeezed out of their day jobs kind of creates a temporary workforce I can use in planting and harvest.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not getting easier. Our H-2A labor that our farm uses just arrived, and, you know, gosh, you know, their stories about coming from, they're all from Europe. their stories about tractorcades in Europe and in Germany and in the Netherlands, Ireland. You know, it doesn't sound like, if you think it's not fun here, it's really not fun in Europe to farm.
That's right.
The great compliment I got from our Irish H2A was I came halfway around the world to farm like a real farmer.
Cool. One of the other observations in the barometer this last month, 80% of the respondents said that they are concerned that following the fall 2024 elections, that government policy will affect their farms in the year ahead. 43% of the respondents think that the regulations impacting agriculture will be more restrictive. Glenn, does concern like that make its way into your long-term planning?
I don't know if it goes in long-term planning, but it is an election year, and weird things happen in election years. I'm hoping we don't have a black swan event that collapses the markets. My biggest concern politically and stuff is some of the regulations that will affect the livestock industry.
Yeah.
You know, with the recent things that are going on in the chicken or in the poultry industry and in the beef industry, if that demand is eliminated or reduced significantly, we're on a house of cards as far as the carryover stocks of corn and our supplies. And, you know, if corn goes down, beans going to go down as well. We're in a sideways pattern right now in these trades. I hope we don't find the floor again. But I guess what I'm hoping is we don't have a black swan event in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure, Glenn, we didn't already have it with avian flu moving over from to a few cattle and one human? I mean,
well,
it's part of the pandemic,
That's kind of what I was referring to with some of the stuff recently in the news. It's going to have to be monitored, and it's all going to, I think, depend on whether it spreads. It depends on how the media blows it up, how it's perceived by the consumer. You know, in the end here, there might be some restrictions that come in place as a result of that, and it's just hard to tell how it's going to affect those industries. But I would, for both those industries, I would be very concerned right now about how that's going to be perceived in the public, because, you know, the media has a tremendous amount of influence on consumer purchases.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Great point, Ben.
Well, this is like a match to Tinder here. I mean, I think we've got to get a farm bill. And the reason why is I see two very distinct futures. One, under the leadership of one party, you know, we're going to have, we're going to reinstate EPA funding so we don't have state-by-state regulation of, you know, how our soil and water resources are managed, about carbon and renewable policy and things like that. And the other road is, it's almost, I fear it almost being weaponized, you know, that we're going to have... Yes. People with no ag background come and give us dictate policy out of the little archipelagos that vote the other way on tell us how to farm.
Yep. Legitimate concerns, Ben. No question about it. You guys, fantastic job talking about the issues that we need to be talking about. Thank you guys so much. That is Ben Renchie in Iowa, Glenn Newcomer over in Ohio. Thanks for listening. We got Clayton Pope this afternoon here on AgriTalk.
In the beginning, there were soybean plants, and something big was about to happen. Except, it didn't. Because stresses like heat and drought struck during the flowering stage, preventing bloom and so much more. But then Agroxene said, "Let there be Smartfoil." And the big bloom came, because Smartfoil is a biological foliar application that increases pod count and yield potential by reducing abiotic stress. So bloom big in 2024. Ask your retailer about Smartfoil by Agroxene or visit bigbeanbloom.com to learn more.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel